Afternoon, everyone. My name's Richard Martin. I'm the Chief of Staff in the Florida Attorney General's Office. And it's my pleasure to introduce our next speaker, my boss, Attorney General Ashley Moody. Attorney General Moody is a fifth-generation Floridian from Plant City, Florida. She is a triple gator, having earned her bachelor's and master's degree in accounting and a Juris Doctor from the University of Florida. She is, I think, what you would characterize as a credentialed law nerd. She later earned a master's in international law from Stetson University College of Law. And I can say this law nerd joke with some authority because there's some times when we've looked at each other across the desk, both now with our glasses on, and said, you know, only law nerds would really enjoy this stuff. And we do. General Moody practiced commercial litigation with Holland & Knight in Tampa before joining the United States Attorney's Office as a federal prosecutor, where she prosecuted drug, firearm, and fraud offenses. Now, General Moody's family has a history of service to Florida's justice system for generations. Her grandfather was a judge in Hillsborough County. Her father was a circuit judge in Hillsborough County and is now a senior United States District Judge for the Middle District of Florida. And her brother, Jamie, is a Hillsborough County circuit judge who's here today. Now, in 2006, at the age of 31, General Moody became the youngest judge in the state of Florida at the time when she was elected circuit judge for the 13th Judicial Circuit in Hillsborough County. And she served over 11 years in that position as a circuit judge, much of that time in the criminal division. And that's why she's so passionate about the criminal justice system in this state. And in 2018, Attorney General Moody gave up that position as a judge to become a candidate for Attorney General. And candidate Ashley Moody came here to the Florida Conference of the Federalist Society to debate her colleagues in her bid to become Florida's next Attorney General. And for those of you like me who were here, there was little doubt in that room at the end that she was the most qualified and prepared candidate. And Florida's voters agreed strongly. In 2018, she was elected the 38th Attorney General of Florida by a margin of nearly 500,000 votes in what was otherwise a close election. The Florida Attorney General's Office, which General Moody oversees, employs 370 attorneys in 12 offices throughout the state, doing a wide variety of work, including defending constitutional challenges to state laws, defending state officers and agencies, defending the state of Florida in criminal and capital appeals, prosecuting statewide criminal offenses, protecting consumers, and preventing Medicaid fraud. As Florida's Attorney General, General Moody is on the front lines of federalism, where the rubber meets the road. And she has been a fierce advocate for this state in the courts, before our state legislature, in the Congress, and in the media. Please welcome with me Attorney General Ashley Moody.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I think my brother got to all of y'all before I came out here. You know, Richard was a private attorney working with a large law firm in the Tampa Bay area, and I'm seeing so many of my judge colleagues out in the room. As you know, when you're in a private law firm making the big bucks, it is really hard to convince someone to come back into public service. And you can see why I had to lobby hard, but I was able to get such a great lawyer to come help me. He's now the Chief of Staff in the Florida Attorney General's Office. You can never trust a guy wearing a bow tie when they say they're gonna be brief. He said, I'm gonna give you a brief introduction. But that was very touching and I appreciate it. It is great to be back. Last year we were here virtually, so the room was not as crowded, but to see all of you here again in person is certainly inspiring. And as Richard put, yes, we do have, I would call them detailed, comprehensive discussions regarding legal analysis, as he calls them, legal nerd debates. It's nice to be among all our people who appreciate that. So thank you for showing up here today. It is an incredible time. It has been an incredible 3 years as the Attorney General for Florida. And it is so wonderful to come back to this organization, who I can say I have seen firsthand has such an incredible effect on the justice system in Florida and our judiciary. And we talk about this a lot. I don't know, in law school, and some of you are my age, maybe even older, I don't remember the discussion being so robust about separation of powers, federalism, why that is important to a strong, free country. I don't remember that. And I know this organization is making so many efforts to make sure that becomes part of legal courses, that folks can study and learn. Because once you get into the system and you start seeing how it affects the integrity of each branch, you realize how important it is as we're training for lawyers, to be lawyers. And when I come back here and we talk about basic principles that should not be debatable or controversial or even associated with a political party, judges should apply the law as written, not insert their personal opinions. You know, I wanted to come up here and give the top 10 quips from the bench that had nothing to do with the case, whether I agreed with them or not. Every time that happens, I cringe. For the judges in this room, every time that happens, I cringe. Not because of what you say, but because when you give your personal opinion about something related to applying the law to the facts, it is like a gut punch to the integrity and independence of the courts. Don't do it. People pay attention to what you say. And what gives court opinions viability and strength and respect is the general public trusting that it is an independent decision, free from personal bias, and made solely on adherence to the law as written. They convinced me not to give the top 10, but maybe next year when I get back here, we'll do the top 10. I already have some good ones this week. That the government exists to preserve freedom, not infringe upon it. That the separation of powers is essential to our government for its continued existence. I have never seen it so pressured as we are right now. And I welcome you to Florida as Florida's Attorney General. I think a lot of you, if many of you come from out of state, I know this is the Florida chapters, but when you come here from another state, everyone says, wow, it's so normal. I mean, the shock of it. And it is normal, and those of us that live here say, yes, it's normal, and it's kind of humorous to us, but just this week, a mayor in Washington shut down a business. Felt they had the authority to shut down a small business. COVID. Now, COVID has had an impact on all of our lives. But whenever you make any decision as an executive, you always have to make that decision on, yes, how do we protect the safety and health and welfare of our community? But it's always done so with, how do I respect the scope of my power? And first and foremost, respect the individual liberties of those that elected me to lead. And you keep seeing continuous examples of folks violating that fundamental premise. And I've been so honored and so excited to work with Governor Ron DeSantis, who through all of this has kept his eye on how do I make the best decisions for Floridians through a lens of personal freedom. And the fact that people are moving here to Florida in record numbers, if you look at the last census data, Florida has the most number of people moving into its states. Now, when I became Attorney General, I assumed we would have an influx of refugees from Venezuela, Cuba. Little did I know it would also be California and New York. But it's a testament to why it's so important that we respect the fundamentals, principles that you gather to discuss and debate, like federalism. Because when states don't push back against federal encroachment into their police powers or their own autonomy, then when the federal government encroaches on that right, on your rights, what do we do then? The fact that you're not happy with how California is exercising its powers and you can move to Florida and seek refuge is a testament to why groups like this are so important and why leadership in Florida will always be involved and will always meet to discuss these principles with you and debate why that is the right leadership for the state of Florida. And I think the last 2 years, when you compare Florida to other states, it's a drop the mic moment. We are on the right path and the rest of the nation can see it. Governor DeSantis has made some brave decisions at a time when a lot of people wouldn't have understood or felt comfortable or maybe were queasy with those decisions. I can tell you, he is one of the most detail-oriented, engaged leaders I have ever worked with. And when he was criticized over and over incessantly, he stood strong early on. And Florida is recovering faster than any other state. We are leading the nation, and I'm so incredibly proud to be a part of it. And not just because his nerves of steel, because he understands that when we see encroachment from the federal government into our state, we have to push back. So many of you may not know this, but the cruise industry here is the number one cruise industry of any state. Over 60% of the nation's cruises leave from Florida. 8 billion affect to our economy, 900,000 jobs. When the CDC shut down the entire cruise industry for over a year, the governor and I were saying, this cannot happen. How can an unelected bureaucrat, an agency, shut down an entire industry for over a year? Think about that. This is things you talk about even before COVID hit us. You have been talking about the power of a federal government. And it played out right before our eyes. And when we went into court, because we weren't going to sit back, and maybe other states didn't feel it as intensely as we did here in Florida because of its affect on our people. But when we went to court, the CDC said, and they argued, they had the power to do whatever they felt was necessary to stop the spread of infection, whatever. And we immediately thought to ourselves, if that is the case, if that's what they truly believe, where will they stop? The court in that case agreed with us, thankfully. And in the court's words, that position, that understanding of what a bureaucrat thought their power was breathtaking, unprecedented, and listen to this, about our government, authoritarian. Those are poignant words in the United States of America. We had to take that all the way to the Supreme Court. And when you saw this government used the OSHA agency to impose sweeping healthcare policy on our nation, affecting hundreds of millions of people. We stepped up. We said, you cannot use an agency to start making healthcare decisions. We do have Congress. You know, there's a reason why Congress is put in Article 1. They've been meeting this whole time. They've enacted legislation regarding the pandemic. If they wanted to do this, they would have. And that's why it's so important that we have groups like you meeting to discuss these things so that you can speak out and step up. When we won on OSHA, which I think was one of the most important victories for freedom in the history of our country, but we didn't do that alone. Yes, we were a party. Yes, we were pushing, working with others, but there are folks in this room who stepped up, brought their own cases, represented businesses and others, I mean, the push against this was so inspiring. And it was, yes, about pushing back and remembering that we need to protect our state rights and push back when an executive bureaucrat wants to make himself a king. But it was about freedom. And I am so honored that you would invite me to join you to speak, to be in front of my colleagues that I have known so well for so many times. Some of them probably think it's funny to see me up here as the Attorney General, and I think it's funny that some of you are judges. But I will tell you, I'm going to end today by saying, and it's become a tradition with me coming here, and you'll recognize it when I say it, pay attention to what moves you in life. I felt very compelled, very moved to resign from the bench, to be more proactive. Because if we're doing our jobs right as judges, we are very reactive, as we should be. I felt called to that. I wanted to do more. I never thought the fight would look like this. But there's not a day that goes by where I don't feel tried and challenged, that I don't say, I answered the call. I was moved to do this. I'm in the right place at the right time. And so in my tradition, I ask you to pay attention to what moves you, what calls you. Just like Richard left private practice, much more lucrative, I acknowledge, to come serve with me in the Attorney General's office. If anything we say here moves you to serve, please, please let us know. I would love to have more folks use their talents, their experience, their ability to have great legal nerd debates. They would add a lot to the flavor of our conversations. I would love to have you on the team. And when I say answer the call to serve, we're not gonna ask you to jump out of planes, but to show up and use your talents and expertise with passion and grit to fight for the citizens of this state, the autonomy of our state, and for the principles that made this country what it is. The fact that you're here today shows that you're kind of folks I want alongside us. This is an important group, such an important group, with such important work and conversations. I'm grateful that you invited me. I'm grateful that you allow me to be your Attorney General, that you've hired me for this incredibly important job. I try to remember every day that this has been a blessing, an opportunity, and hope that I'm representing you well. And I will remain standing and fighting and pushing back and ensuring that the federal government and its power remains what it is meant to be, and that is limited. And I will leave you with this very poignant words by someone I know that we have all admired. Tyrannies have long lists of rights, but what they don't have is structural restraints on the power of government. And that's what we will continue to fight for. Thank you so much. Enjoy your conference.